Penguin Random House Audio presents Half American, the epic story of African Americans fighting World War II at home and abroad, by Matthew F. Delmont. Read for you by William Demerit. For Xavier and Simone. Introduction. Shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor in December 1941, James Gratz Thompson, a 26-year-old black cafeteria worker from Wichita, could not sleep. He had registered with the Selective Service the prior year, and now, with the U.S. declaring war on Japan and Germany, it was only a matter of time before he'd be drafted. The prospect of war was frightening for many civilians, but something else was on his mind on that cold Kansas night. Sitting in his family's home in a vibrant black neighborhood amid a segregated American city, Thompson wrote a letter to the editor of the Pittsburgh Courier, the nation's largest black newspaper, expressing the concerns that he and many other black Americans felt about joining a racially segregated military. "Should I sacrifice my life to live half American?" Thompson asked. "Will things be better for the next generation in the peace to follow? Would it be demanding too much to demand full citizenship rights in exchange for the sacrificing of my life? Is the kind of America I know worth defending?" Thompson's poignant questions about patriotism had an immediate impact. Hundreds of thousands of black Americans read his letter printed in the pages of the Courier. The influential newspaper used the letter to launch the Double Victory campaign, with the aim of securing victory over fascism abroad and victory over racism at home. The Courier ran hundreds of stories, photographs, and cartoons to support this initiative. Double V clubs formed in communities across the country, and civil rights activists touted the slogan. "I have taught about World War II for more than a decade, but researching this book has forced me to see the war with fresh eyes. Taking the twin aims of the Double V campaign seriously, victory over fascism abroad and victory over racism at home, it is clear that the United States did not achieve a full victory in World War II. Although the Nazis were conquered on the battlefield, the racial ideas of white supremacy continue to flourish in America then and today. Half American aims to tell the definitive history of black Americans and World War II. Nearly everything about the war, the start and end dates, geography, vital military roles, home front, and international implications, looks different when viewed from the African-American perspective. For black Americans, the war started not with Pearl Harbor in 1941, but several years earlier, with the Italian invasion of Ethiopia and the Spanish Civil War. As soon as Adolf Hitler's regime rose to power in the 1930s, black Americans recognized the significance of the Nazi threat and the similarities between the Third Reich's and America's racial policies. In the pages of newspapers and in activist refrains, blacks argued that Nazi racial ideology was not solely a foreign problem. Describing a plan to segregate Jews on German railways, the New York Amsterdam News wrote that Nazis were taking a leaf from the United States' Jim Crow practices. The Chicago Defender noted that the practice of Jim Crowism has already been adopted by the Nazis, and proceeded to quote from the official newspaper of the SS, the Nazi paramilitary organization, on the American origins of Germany's railway ban on Jews. In the days after Pearl Harbor, hundreds of black volunteers were turned away by military recruiters. In a nation mobilizing for war, African Americans first had to fight for the right to serve in the military. Ultimately, over 1 million black men and women served in World War II, and hundreds of thousands worked in defense industries at home. The trailblazing Tuskegee Airmen, 92nd Infantry Division, Montford Point Marines, and 761st Black Panther Tank Battalion served bravely in combat, and black troops shed blood in the iconic battles at Normandy and Iwo Jima and in the Battle of the Bulge. Most black troops, however, labored in unheralded but vital support jobs. Black newspapers highlighted the important roles these men and women played in lesser-known battles and war zones around the world, from New Guinea to Alaska, and from the Mediterranean island of Pantelleria to the mountains of the China-Burma-India Theater. When I started digging into the archival records and military documents regarding the work black troops did during the war, It became clear to me not only that African Americans served bravely during the war, but that the United States would not have won World War II without the unsung contributions of black troops. A global war entailed logistics on a scale that surprised even America's military planners. Indeed, while fighting across the Pacific, Europe, North Africa, and Asia, the U.S. military required unprecedented amounts of food, fuel, medical supplies, ammunition, and other materials. Beyond being a battle of strategy and will, World War II was a battle of supply. Black Americans were engineers, quartermasters, construction workers, and supply troops who together formed the backbone of the U.S. military's logistical forces. Black truck drivers moved supplies from ports to the battlefronts. General service regiments cleared jungles, constructed roads, and built runways. Navy construction battalions made ports and cleared beaches that enabled Allied invasions, and the merchant marine transported troops and supplies around the globe. Black troops fought courageously when given the opportunity in combat, but it was this behind-the-scenes support and supply work that helped the Allies win the war. These black worker soldiers were largely invisible to white America, but black journalists sung their praises during and after the war. I can truthfully report that the record of the American Negro in World War II matches, if not surpasses, that of any white man, New York Amsterdam News journalist Dan Burley wrote just after the war ended. To him belongs the credit in winning the Battle of Supply. As the popular memory of World War II took shape, the experiences of black veterans remained peripheral. Years of movies and books focusing on D-Day and platoons in frontline combat have presented a misleading version of how the war was won. From Life's pictorial history of World War II in 1946 to Saving Private Ryan in 1998, white soldiers were presented as the iconic figures of the war. It's hard to overstate the depth of the disrespect to the black veteran whose sacrifice has been redacted from history. There are thousands of black ex-GIs who will not talk about World War II because for the black man, it was humiliating, degrading, cruel, and not by accident, recalled Staff Sergeant David Quezon Jr., a member of the 92nd Infantry Division, which saw combat in Italy. The treatment of black soldiers was deliberate, contrived, and planned as well as the Normandy invasion. Only the invasion is over, but the wounds of the black soldiers are still raw. After the war, black veterans returned to cities and towns that were openly hostile to their presence. Hundreds of veterans were beaten and more than a dozen murdered for being too proud of their uniforms or insufficiently deferential to white people. The veteran from Okinawa may well be lynched on the streets of a Georgia town if he does not step off the sidewalk when a white woman or man passes, Burley wrote. He had better not wear his uniform or battle ribbons in Mississippi. Despite this wave of violence, veterans returned from the war eager to fight for freedom at home. They moved from the European theater of operations to the Southern theater of operations, as one veteran put it. For decades after World War II, black veterans like Hosea Williams, W. Johnson Rountree, Amzie Moore, and Medgar Evers fueled the civil rights movement and fought for the principles of democracy in America. For these veterans and millions of others, winning the war would be only a partial victory if the United States did not also overturn white supremacy and racial discrimination at home. Of course, most white Americans understood the war to be only about defeating the Nazis and Japanese military, a single V abroad and the status quo at home. Indeed, many white Americans actively fought during and after the war to maintain white supremacy in the United States, while millions of others turned a blind eye to the injustices of racism while enjoying the benefits of their position atop the racial hierarchy. White politicians lobbied successfully for military bases to be built in their communities, and then expressed outrage at the possibility of black troops being stationed there. When the mayor of a Texas town heard that black soldiers might be assigned to a local training base called Camp Swift, he asked his congressman to inform the president that he would personally shoot the first one who came into town. White defense industry workers in Mobile, Philadelphia, and other cities organized hate strikes, racially motivated walkouts to protest the integration or promotion of black defense workers. In Detroit, hundreds of whites carrying signs reading, "We want white neighbors in our white neighborhood," blocked black defense workers from moving into a housing project. White police, bus drivers, and civilians vigorously maintained Jim Crow policies in the
sample complete. Ready to continue?